little bit different this morning. We're going to tag team teach today. And I don't know, I kind of feel like we're on like a talk show or something. Like a morning show. Like, welcome to GC, Majc, and AC. Coming at you live on Facebook. You know what we need? I know what we need. I got a little surprise for you. You didn't know about this. We need coffee cups like they have on TV. You know they're always sitting there drinking empty cups. This is exactly what we need. Now our set is complete. That's some good coffee. Y'all can see this is going downhill fast. But I'm excited about today, mainly because this is the first time my wife and I have ever co-taught tag team like this. But we're going to talk about how to build a house of peace. And our scripture today is Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, I like how the Bible puts that, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Building a house of peace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, for your presence and power in this place. We thank you for the power of the Word of God. And Lord, use us, God, to teach your Word today. Change our lives. Transform us. God, may every one of us today walk in the peace of God. We thank you, Lord, for changing us, challenging us, and transforming us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. I came across a news article about a Minnesota couple. No offense, Sue, but some of y'all Minnesotans are crazy. All right, Diane and Oliver Fittipaldi were arguing over how to set the dining room table. Apparently, this was an ongoing argument throughout their entire marriage, and it kept escalating and escalating and escalating. And one night, after her husband yelled at her about where to put his fork, Diane decided she'd had enough. She left the house. She rented a 3,000-pound forklift, drove it right through their dining room wall, and proceeded to smash the table into 1,000 pieces. True story, during the trial, she told the judge, Oliver wanted a fork, so I gave him a fork. So today, we want to help keep the forklift out of your house, all right? So we've got 7 points each. Now, don't worry, these are going to be short points. I don't expect you to remember every point, but I want you to remember and hold on to the most painful points. So whatever point challenges you the most today, remember that and let God deal with you on that, okay? Point number one, peace starts before the relationship begins. Okay? If you're single and you're messed up and you have issues, marriage is not going to fix your problems. Hello? It's going to amplify your problems. Okay? You cannot have a peaceful marriage and a peaceful home until you learn how to walk in peace. Okay, I tell people all the time, you can't work on your marriage. You can only work on yourself in your marriage. Y'all with me so far? Okay, you can't fix them, but you can work on you. Philippians 2:12 says this, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out whose salvation? Does it say your husband's salvation? Your wife's salvation? It says you work out your own salvation. In other words, you do you. Boo. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. So God is going to work on the inside, but you got to do some work too, all right? If you want peace, it starts with you. Remember the verse we just read, Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. All right, that's point number one.
The struggle for me today is going to be staying seated. As you can tell, I'm still on the edge. So, point number two is peace is something that you It's worth fighting for. It's not a cloud that just enters into your house that says, peace be here. You have to fight to keep peace in your home. Because the enemy is going to do whatever he can to bring discord. He's going to do whatever he can to bring division and confusion. You name it. So you have to fight for it. And one of the things that whenever I was speaking in the kids ministry back there, and if you walk back there and you ask them.
Now this is good, y'all. Y'all got to pay attention. This is one of her ministry trademarks that I've heard for years, and she may or may not have used it on me. So y'all listen up. This is good.
Kids are often fighting and bickering and tattling and, you know, kids. And at one point, I just got tired of hearing it. And I said, I'm going to fight this with the Word of God, because if I start using Bible verses, it's going to be quiet. And so I would say, they would come and they would start fighting. They would say, this person did this, and this person did that. And I would say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Matthew 5:9. And so when they would come to me and there was discord, I would say, blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
So every single time they would come to me and they would have an issue, I would say,
hold on, there were 17 people who didn't say peacemakers. You need to try that again.
Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
That was much better. I would tell them, be a peacemaker. Why are you fighting? Is it worth fighting over? And so in your home, you have to fight for the peace and determine whether or not what you're fighting over, is it really worth it? And remember Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
That's good preaching, isn't it? So y'all need to take that home and use it on your own kids. Matthew 5:9. Yeah, that's just gonna know. I'm gonna make peace with this subwoofer that's rumbling right now. That's driving me nuts. Can y'all hear it?
Yeah.
Rumbling like Darth Vader over here talking to me. I guess I'm the only one who focuses on every little aspect of the sound system. There we go. Now I'm at peace. I feel so peaceful. Number three, peace comes from Jesus, but we have to do our part. Okay, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus anointed the 72. He anointed his disciples and he sent them out into the cities and villages to minister. And I've read this scripture so many times, but I've missed this one little part of the instructions that Jesus gave them. This is so good. Look at this. Luke 10 verse 5. He said, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. But listen to what Jesus said. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. You know what Jesus is saying? If you don't choose to live in peace, you're rejecting God's blessing on your house. Jesus said that, y'all. Isn't that something? That's why it matters. Jesus said, blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
When you say, may God's peace be on this house, if you don't choose to live in peace, that blessing will not rest upon your home. I have to say, one of our testimonies as a married couple is that something that so many friends of ours have commented on is that our house has always been a peaceful place. And can I tell you something? That didn't happen by accident. Because our natural state is chaos. Okay?
Yours might be.
Mine definitely is, but I have enough for both of us. Living in peace takes work, and you have to be intentional. Galatians 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Fruit has to be cultivated. The Holy Spirit can work on the inside, but you've got to cooperate with God. Amen?
Right.
All right, on to point number four.
Number four is choose your battles.
Hallelujah.
Choose your battles. Just like we do with kids, we have to pick what battles we're going to fight. In life and in marriage, you have to pick what's worth fighting over. Not every little thing deserves the gloves to come out. And you really need to ask yourself, is this worth the fight? Is this worth it? So many times the little things are what destroys destroys what it shouldn't. It's not the big picture, it's the little things that just add up and add up. You know, in Song of Solomon,
like, don't let this other speaker distract you from the message today.
So, this is a great example of peace being in the house. Choose your battles.
Sometimes you just gotta kill the speaker.
Sometimes you just need to kick that speaker.
Not these speakers, those speakers.
So pick your battles. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, "Catch up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." It is the small foxes that spoil the vines.
Amen.
Don't let the small stuff damage your home. A really good example that Josh and I had a couple of weeks ago was we'd gone to Raleigh for something. We were on the way home. And I knew he was going to interject.
Yeah, you got to feel it. You got to tell it because it's dramatic. I went to get the yellow fever vaccine.
Okay, yeah.
Because we're going to Africa, and it's one of the few places in America that you can get it.
He's been playing this out for weeks.
It's very experimental. Almost died for 3 minutes, but then I recovered.
Every cough is the yellow fever. So I had been sick and had a really bad cough. Like, really bad. To the point where when he was getting this shot, he said, "Can you get that under control a little bit?" Because the lady...
Yeah, she was coughing so bad that a lady came behind a closed door and handed her a cough drop and walked away. Like, it was intense.
When you got a cough, you got to get the thing out. So we were riding down the road, and we were just chit-chatting and talking. There was no interruptions in the back from Hudson or Christy. And we were just kind of able to enjoy each other's company, and I'd been coughing a little bit. But all of a sudden, I started doing like this, and my eyes were watering, and I started coughing, and Josh was like, "Can you get a cough drop?" And the next thing I know, his eyes are watering, and he's coughing, and we're both coughing, and I was like, "Oh, God, we got yellow fever." Like, that was live. We're about to die. But what had happened was, somehow, my pepper spray safety had come off. And so, from the floorboard, it was circulating throughout the car, and it wasn't the flu or the yellow fever, it was the pepper spray. So if you wonder if it really works, we hear testimony that it does work. But the point of this, of me telling that story, is you have to figure out what's causing your issues right now.
Yes.
We kept thinking I was coughing from the flu or that respiratory virus that I had, or it was the yellow fever that vaccine he had gotten like 5 minutes ago. But what it was the pepper spray. And you have to determine what's the pepper spray in your relationship right now. What is the little thing that is damaging and causing issues in your life right now? Because what you may think it is, whenever you examine yourself, it may not be truly the cause. I hear this a lot whenever we have counseling sessions or just talking to friends, and it's, "I have to speak my mind. I have to get this off my chest. I have to tell you how I feel." Yeah, you do, but sometimes you just need to be quiet. There's more strength in being quiet than in opening up your mouth sometimes. And so you have to determine, is now time for me to be quiet? Or is now time for me to talk? Remember, Proverbs 29:11, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." If you're angry, don't be a fool. Be wise and hold it back. Sometimes the best way to open your heart is to keep your mouth shut.
Woo! Good preaching right there. It is quiet.
He gets all the amens, and I'm over here like, are y'all asleep?
Number five, find a common cause. Find a common cause. We're made to fight. Do y'all know that? Psalm 144:1 says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Americans are fighters. That's how this nation was formed. We will fight. Do y'all understand that? We're going to fight no matter what. And if we're not fighting the enemy, we'll fight each other. And that's the problem. I was listening to an interview with a British member of Parliament the other day, and he was commenting on American culture. He said this. He said an amazing thing, because they were asking him, you know, why is the British parliamentary system so weird, where your government fails every 2 or 3 months and you're constantly having elections? He said, well, I'll tell you this. He said the United States has the greatest political system on earth. It is the greatest system of government on the planet, hands down. He said, but the problem I see with Americans is that they're so polarized. He said, for example, I can name 5 things that I like about President Donald Trump, and I can name 5 things that I hate about President Donald Trump, but Americans aren't like that. You have to either completely hate him or completely love him. You see, we don't have a common enemy, so we're fighting each other. Marriage is the same way. We're made to fight. And if you and your husband, or you and your wife, if you don't find a common cause to fight for, you're going to fight each other. Okay? If we're not fighting the devil on the front lines, we're going to fight each other on the sidelines. Okay? So maybe one of the reasons why you're fighting each other is because you haven't found a common enemy. I heard recently that young married couples, marriages that start young and poor, tend to have a high success rate. And I think that's because they're struggling so much in the beginning that they learn to fight on the same side. So, if I can say this, stop arguing over stupid stuff and find a cause worth fighting for. Try praying for somebody. Share Jesus with somebody. Be an example to people around you. Teach your kids the Bible. Please. Teach your kids the Bible. My wife was teaching our kids' church about Abraham, and one of the kids raised his hand and said, Abraham Lee? Teach your kids the Bible. And if you don't have kids, teach somebody else's kids the Bible. Amen. Volunteer and get involved on Sunday. Serve together in church. Find a common cause. This world is full of people dying and going to hell, and you're over there fighting over where to hang a picture.
Amen.
Think about that for a minute. And God is looking down on you, scratching his head, saying, what in the world? Find something worth fighting for. Amen? So that's my word for you today. Stop the stupid and do something that matters. I tell you what, we got so much good stuff. We're going to stop at number 7, and we're going to do a 2-part. Y'all ready for this?
Yeah. I'm ready to roll out on 6, y'all.
Can y'all handle 2 weeks of this? Yeah. Amen. I don't know if it's the Lord or I'm just hungry, but we're going to do 2 more points, and then we'll close, and we'll pick it up next week, okay? And I don't know, I might even bring real coffee.
Point number 6 is protect your children. Whether they're young or old, protect your children. You say, well, what do I need to protect my children from? They're living in my own home. Protect your children from what's going on. Your house is supposed to be the house where they are shielded and they are protected from this world. And when they go into your home, they shouldn't be all up in mom and daddy's business. If you guys aren't getting along or whatever's going on, they should not know about it. And I'm a testimony of that. My parents divorced I was 20 years old, but when they divorced, it didn't get there. They were there before 20. And I had no idea that they were even at that point, because my mom and dad shielded me from the arguments and from where they were, because they wanted to protect me and what my vision of marriage was going to be whenever I grew up. Because so many people, when they go through a divorce, the kids come out and they're like, oh, I'm never getting married. Or I'm never marrying somebody like that. But because my mom and dad shielded me from that, I wasn't in the midst of an argument. I didn't hear them. I have no idea. I can't tell you where they went to go argue, because clearly they did, somewhere. But I didn't hear them. Nor did they speak an ugly word about each other to us. To us, mama and daddy were amazing. The world was amazing. Church was amazing. If there was an issue that they didn't like the music or they didn't like something that the preacher said, we didn't eat our pastor for dinner.
Oh, you're on the meddling now.
It's just the truth.
I like it.
Because that shapes and molds a child. And you go home and you're talking about work and your boss, and you're going home and you're talking about marital issues, and you're going home and you're talking about church. When they come through those church doors or they meet your boss, they already have a picture. And they're already guarded. And so as a parent, it is our job to protect our children both emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It is our job to set the example of what godly parents are. If you've got a disagreement, go turn the radio on, wait till they go to bed, go outside and talk it out. But in your house, it needs to be peace. Because I promise you, you think they don't hear what you're saying and what's going on, or even what's going on in the world. If you've been watching the news and all of a sudden you find yourself talking about the presidential election and all this stuff, fear starts to rise up in kids. Even in your adult children, they get worried. They worry about mama and daddy. As an adult, I worry about my mom. We worry about Gigi and Pop-Pop. Because we love them. And anxiety rises up. And as parents, sometimes we put unnecessary stress on our own children. Because we don't know when to be quiet. Because we got to keep talking and talking. And we can't find a way to have a common ground and have these conversations when our children aren't around. Because guess what? They're going to repeat what you said. Whether it's in kids' church or at school. And then you wonder why pastor just called you into a meeting, or you wonder why DSS just showed up on your doorstep. You don't know what your kids are taking away from what you say. So protect your children, even your older kids. You're still mom and daddy. Just because they grow up doesn't mean that you don't still love and care for them. Protect them.
And the older they are, the less freedom they need.
Amen.
Take the computer out of the room. They're turned their cell phone in at 7 p.m. and take the door off the hinges and bar the windows.
Set boundaries for yourself and for your kids. I'm sorry, but you're not supposed to be their friend. You are not their friend. You are their mom and dad, which means that they don't need to know what's going on in your life. They need to know that you love them, and that you are there to protect them, and that you are there to guide them. But everything outside of that is none of their business. They are still kids. And we are making our children grow up way too fast, because we are putting all this information into their laps. And they don't know what to do with it, because they're children. And their brain can't handle what we're giving them. So as a parent, we need to protect them. Make your house a house of peace. If this morning it was chaos in your house, from this moment forward, you go home and you bring peace into your home.
Amen.
It starts today when you leave here.
Amen.
Even if your kids are 40 years old, when they come into your house, it needs to be peace. If they're 60 years old, it needs to be peace. It doesn't matter how old they are. You're still mama and daddy. And guess what? Sometimes I need my mama to tell me it's time for me to be quiet.
That's right.
Just as I'm grown doesn't mean that my mama doesn't still set me straight, right? And guess what? It's still needed. So if you've got older children, it's still your job, whether they want to hear it or not. So protect your kids.
One of the things that I can say about my parents is that, you know, they married young and poor. Okay. There were times when they were more broke than the Iowa caucus. But my brother and I never knew it. We never worried. They may have worried about groceries, but we never worried. They never let us feel that stress and anxiety. They protected us. And that's part of protecting your children. There was a time when Dad was interviewing for a director of nursing position at a hospital in Lynchburg, Virginia. This was a months-long process. I mean, it was a long interview process. He was in the final phases of it. Well, we didn't even find out about it until they went for the final interview. We all rode up there together. So they didn't put that stress and that worry and that anxiety on us. They didn't make us worry for months and months and months. They only told us about it when it was a very, very immediately real possibility. And by the way, I'm glad it worked. Anybody here from Virginia? Okay. Are you guys good drivers? Great. I love you guys, but I hate everybody else from the state of Virginia. They're the worst drivers in the world. Every time I get on Interstate 95, somebody from Virginia is in front of me in the fast lane going 52 miles an hour. I'm sure you guys are wonderful. It's just everybody else from Virginia doesn't know how to drive. The other day I was at the doctor, and I called Amber and said, "Well, coming back from a doctor, I'm on 95. I'm behind two cars right now going slow. Guess where they're from?" She said, "Oh, geez. Let me guess. Virginia." She's so tired of hearing me talk about Virginia. But anyway, that was just divine. I love Virginia. Love you guys. The rest of y'all need to speed up a little bit. But I had a good godly example for me, and what I've found is that even if you didn't have a good example, you can be a good example. One of the best fathers I know is my very close friend, Pastor John Watford, at Cornerstone Church in New Bern. In fact, today he's retiring after 45 years of pastoring. And he is one of the most loving, caring, protective fathers I've ever met. He absolutely adores his kids. And he also doesn't put up with any mess. But he grew up without a father. But he made up his mind. You know, I didn't have that, but I'm going to be that. So maybe you didn't grow up in an environment where you were protected from the stress and the anxiety. Maybe you didn't grow up in a safe home. Maybe you didn't have that. But by the grace of God, you can be that.
And I'm going to just say this. Stop using what you did not have as an excuse. Amen. Stop using, "Well, I didn't have a dad," or "I didn't have a mom," or "My parents were divorced," or "I grew up in an abusive home," as an excuse. What home are you setting for your household? Because if you are married, then you have the opportunity to do it right. Right now, if you're a single mom, then you've got men that can come in. And I look at Miss Sheila, and I look at her two boys that attend our church, and I see where the men have stepped up and helped raise those boys, and they are good boys. They are good, godly boys. And I look at her, and I say, she did it right. She didn't go, "I'm a single mom, so I give up." No, she looked at it, and she said, "Guess what? I'm a single mom, but God has my back, and He's going to send the people that I need to raise the children up the way that they need to be raised up. And I'm not going to let my past or what I did not have keep me from being what I need to be." Because God called you to be something better. Stop sitting there using excuses and saying, "I can't do this," or "I can't do that," because my dad was a low life, or "I didn't have a mama." That was in the past. When you got saved, you became a new creation. And you have a heavenly father that's better than any earthly father that you could ever have. So stop using the wounds of the past to determine your future. And not just that, but affect generations to come. Because you are affecting your children and how they are going to raise their children. It goes on and on and on. And I know you're ready to close, but I'm just saying, stop using excuses. Because I hear it way too often. Well, give me a tissue. My daddy was bad. You know, guess what? Everybody's got a story. Everybody has a story of your dad or your mom or a family member that did this or a family member that did that. It can hinder you from being the best God has called you to be. But you determine whether or not you're going to allow the enemy to be what they were. Because what your parents did in moderation, statistics say that you will do in excess. And then it goes down and down and down. So what are you doing in moderation that set the example for your children? Whether they're grown or whether they're infants. Today it starts over. Because who wants peace in their house? Who wants peace? Throw your hands up. I want peace. I don't want to live in a house where we're arguing and we're fussing over nothing. And when you go to bed, you don't even know what you were just arguing about. And your kids are laying in bed crying because they don't even know if mom and daddy are going to stay together. Come on, how fair is that? Or they don't know if daddy's going to blow up at mama or what's going to happen. That's not peace. That's chaos. And that's not what God's children have been called to live in. And if your house has been chaos, stop it today. Make a vow. I challenge you to say, God, from this point forward, help me be a peacemaker. If it means I have to be quiet, if it means that I have teeth marks on my tongue from where I'm just having to be quiet, God, help me. Help me to be that peacemaker. But I'm going to tell you where it starts. It starts with spending time with God. Because if you're not prayed up, you're going to react. If you're not spending that time, you're going to blow up when you shouldn't blow up. So today, make that vow to have that peace. And as we're standing and as we're closing, the ultimate peace is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. The ultimate peace. And I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart to be the Lord of your life, and you say, Amber, I hear about this peace, but I don't know what you're talking about. I want to be peaceful. Peaceful at work. I don't want to be that chaos. I want to be peaceful at home. I want to be peaceful at church. I want to be peaceful in Walmart, peaceful when I'm driving. I want to be peaceful. Then bow your head and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our heart. And just repeat after me. And it says, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me and set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I will live for you and follow you the rest of my life. Lord, help me to have peace. In your name I pray. Amen. As the prayer team is coming up here today, I encourage you that